Good morning and welcome to the Cone Zone, the only show I do every week that starts right on time. I've been in the green room with my dad for about the past 10 minutes, just shooting the breeze. Dad, it's good to see you again. How are you?
Batting a thousand, Iggy. How are you?
I'm nervous. You know, there's a lot of people watch these shows and sometimes I get a little nervous. Today I'm nervous. I hope we do a good job. I just want to do a good job.
Yeah, what we're paid for. Although I don't get paid.
No, you don't. But no. The title of the show is How Players Feel About Brandon Ayuk's Dissatisfaction with the 49ers. Why don't we start right there? Brandon Ayuk is dissatisfied. He wants a better deal from the 49ers. He's going to he's going to wait until he gets it. How do you imagine his teammates feel about, do you think he's being selfish, or do you think they support him?
They are 100% in his corner. I don't even have to be in the locker room to know. It's not like Nick Bosa is walking around saying, who does Ayuk think he is? You know, he has to be I don't have to be a team player like that, but he has to be a team player and take what the organization gives him. No, the players stand up for one another. They feel Ayuk is a heck of a player and he deserves whatever he can get by any means he can get it. Yes. And I'll add one other thing. Players don't really like management.
No.
Think about it. Management is the boss. Mm-hmm. How many people love their boss or that kind of thing? What they look at management as, they don't pay me enough. Mm-hmm. They don't really care about me. If mm-hmm. I get hurt, they'll put somebody else in. They can trade me. They can ask me to renegotiate my contract. I play for this team because I like the other players, because I want to win, and maybe I like the coach. But as far as the front office, absolutely not. So the players see Ayuk as standing up for them against the front office.
Right. And the front office, the Niners, they always want to make themselves seem like they're pro player. Hey, we just want to have a good relationship. It's sort of a family atmosphere around here. Jed York really said that at the owners' meeting last week. So that's one thing. That's what they say. But then they cut Eric Armstead. And the players really like Eric Armstead. He's the longest tenured player on the team. A lot of them look up to him. And they see that the Niners try to slash his salary from $18 million down to $6 million. And they're thinking, oh my God. If they're going to do that to Eric Armstead, if they're going to play hardball with Brandon Ayuk, and if they like trade him, what does that mean for me? I'm not as good as those two guys.
Right. Yeah. So again, if Jed can try to portray it as a family atmosphere, now he may believe it or he may be telling a fib. It may be a family atmosphere in the locker room, but he's not in the family. Mm-hmm. He's not in that family. Mm-mm. He really isn't in the locker room that much. He has nothing to do with it. He is the stern uncle who they want him to leave them money in the will, but they never see him.
Right, right. And the players want to feel like they're in an organization where if they do everything right, if they work hard, do all the OTAs and mini camps, have Pro Bowl seasons, become one of the best at their position, that they'll get taken care of, that they'll get rewarded. And for the last 4 or 5 years, the Niners were that team. They traded Buckner, but they took care of Armstead, Warner, Bosa, Kittle, D-Bus, 5 guys. And now, this offseason, it seems a little different. All of a sudden, they cut Eric Armstead. They might be a little reluctant to pay Brandon Ayuk what some players feel he's earned. And maybe players are saying, what's going on?
Oh, players on every team say, yeah, what's going on?
What's going on?
When Kyle says it's a family, it's an illusion. Right. It's maybe his fantasy. It's not how players look at it. And players very much now with all this free agency stuff are mercenaries.
Yeah.
They're when they play for the team, they play very hard for the team. But they're out for themselves primarily. And listen, it's not a criticism. It's merely a description. They're out for themselves. They're not thinking, oh, I'm a lifelong 49er, the way, you know, in baseball, Willie Mays, they did trade him at the end to the Mets, but he was a Giant. They don't feel that way anymore. I'm a 49er. It's not like that. Now, I think it was like that to a certain extent under Eddie.
Yeah.
I think he did try very hard to have a family atmosphere. And, you know, every few years he has a whole big party for former 49ers. He had one in Vegas and he invites everyone. He has a lot of money and he tries to reinforce the family atmosphere. Can you imagine Jed doing that? And would you even think the players would want to socialize with him?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the family atmosphere that the Niners have created is that little clique of players that are very, very wealthy that vacation together. And it seems like that clique of players think Brandon Ayuk has earned entrance into the club. I was in the locker room. It was after one of his big games this year. He was talking at his locker and Trent Williams, who's the highest paid player on the team, well, one of them, walked by and says, give that man $25 million. Yeah. Give that man $25 million. So they understand that what he's worth, what the market is, and that he's right there. And if the 49ers try to play some funny business and argue that he hasn't earned it or he needs to give them a break because they're whatever, I think players all around the locker room would look at the front office differently. Like, what's going on? Why are you getting cheap all of a sudden? You weren't cheap with Debo. You weren't cheap with me. What's going on? You weren't cheap with Bosa. Yeah.
And when Trent Williams says that, it tells you whose side he's on.
Of course.
He said it in front of the media. He wanted you to write it.
That's right. He did. It's like, thank you very much, Kyle and Jed, for signing my checks and getting me paid and whatever, but I'm on Brandon's side. I'm looking out for Brandon.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know what? I'm on Brandon's side too.
Yeah.
With a certain caveat. I have very little patience, and I don't think he's in this situation. I have very little patience for players who I want to be the highest paid at my position.
Right.
That's all about ego, and it's not about economics.
Right.
I mean, no matter what they're going to pay Ayuk, he's going to be set for life. So if he starts making what I would consider outrageous demands, like I want to be the highest paid in my position, he's not the best at his position in the league. There are better wideouts than he is. He should be able to agree to a hell of a lot of money that they're going to pay him. And I think he should be able to agree with that.
I agree. I would imagine that 25 is right about what that's fair. It's interesting that Trent Williams said it. 25 is an interesting number because Debo makes just a little bit less than 24. So what it means, he doesn't need to be the highest paid wide receiver in the league, but he does need to be the highest paid wide receiver on the team. And that's significant because that's like a shift. The offense has been all about Debo for years. It was all about Debo in the Super Bowl to the detriment of the offense. This is a big shift, and the Niners need to acknowledge that this is now Brandon Ayuk's offense, pretty much.
In terms of wide receivers.
Right.
Yeah, because they do have a good quarterback and a hell of a running back. So, yeah, I agree.
Right. The passing game should really go through Ayuk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Iggy, do you think Debo is worth what they're paying him this upcoming season?
No, absolutely not. His cap hit's going to be $28 million, which is second most on the team after Trent Williams, and I don't see how they can really justify it. Only thing they could say is, look, we're not paying for our quarterback right now very much, so pretend we're spending that money on Brock Purdy or something. But this probably is the last year they can get away with that, and I'm thinking next year they probably got to trade him.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
It would be almost like Armstead all over again.
Absolutely, and I'm surprised they didn't ask him to take a pay cut this year. They could have made the same argument with him that they made with Armstead. All right, that's enough of Ayuk. Let's talk Kyle Shanahan, head coach of the 49ers. He's got some downtime. Free agency's over for the most part. Draft's coming up. He's got a few months before a regular season game. What should he be doing right now? There's a few things. Let's go one by one.
Okay. You know, I love when the announcers say, if I'm so-and-so, this is what I do. I always, because you're not so-and-so, but I'm going to do it just because it amuses me.
Sure.
If I'm Kyle Shanahan, this Hi, is Kyle. What I'm doing. It's like you used to go back to school at PS 193 in Brooklyn and say, what did I do on my summer vacation? You'd have to write that miserable little essay. This is what Kyle, if I'm Kyle, this is what I do on the downtime, you know, before the season really revs up. And I got this idea from Tony La Russa, who's a very smart man, and I enjoyed covering. In the off season, La Russa would write a letter to every one of his players.
Hold on real quick. For people who are young, Tony La Russa, he was the manager of the A's in like the 80s and the early 90s. I know he's still around baseball, but this is like a young football audience, and they may not know who Tony La Russa is. Sorry.
And he won a World Series. He won a World Series in Oakland.
He's pretty famous.
And he's a Hall of Fame manager, and he's, you know, he's a lawyer. And very smart. And he always used to challenge everything I'd say. And it was interesting. We would have like a, sort of a dialogue, but aggressive.
He passed the bar? Wow.
Absolutely. He's a lawyer.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So, anyway, he used to write a letter in the off season to every one of his players. And he would tell them, thank you for your service. This is what, you did good. And this is what our goals are for the upcoming season. These are our goals for you. Mm. And he would make each letter personal. Now, no one writes letters anymore, but you could write an email, not a text. I would accept an email. So what I think Kyle should do, sit down with a list of the players who are going to make the team or are contenders to make the team. And how long would it take? You write two or three paragraphs to each guy. Thank you for your service. You did this well. This is what we want to improve on in the upcoming season or concentrate on. I think it would be really, really helpful. It would show, one, the coach takes me seriously. He takes me personally. And he knows who I am.
Right.
He knows what I need to do. He looks at me. He thinks about me. So, and this, Kyle, I know
how many of these players
this.
Do you think really have one-on-one contact with Kyle Shanahan?
Not that many.
Not that many.
They have with their position coach. And what's more, Kyle could sit down with the position coach and have him help him with the letters.
Right.
This is a way to get closer with your coaches.
Right.
So, I'm taking it from Tony La Russa, who Kyle is a Hall of Fame manager.
Yeah.
And I think this is only positive. If I were a coach, if I'm Kyle Shanahan, this is one of the things I do. I know I'm preparing for the draft. I got it. There are still times you can do this. You could take an hour a day and do this. That's my suggestion. Iggy, what do you think of it?
Clickbait Motorsports says, I want to see the letters written to Jose Canseco.
You know, I bet he said, hell of a season, Jose.
Yeah. Thank you for being on my team. Appreciate it. Yeah. Keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. I'm sure they do exit interviews. And I don't know if Kyle Shanahan has personally said to these players what he thinks of them, but it would be nice to get like a letter mid off season saying, I'm thinking about you. I was watching some tape. I saw this. Here's another way you can get better. It would really, I mean, it would make them like him. It would be nice. It'd be good. It's what a leader would do.
I think it is. It's what a leader would do. And if I were a player, that's the kind of letter I would save from my whole life.
Agree.
I'd put it in a scrapbook.
Yes.
So
yeah, you put it with all your trophies and stuff. Like, this is a letter I got from Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah. So Kyle, maybe you do it already. If you do, phenomenal. Great. If not, consider it. I bet it would make you different from a lot of other head coaches. Iggy, do you have any suggestions for him, what he could be doing?
Oh, yeah. I got another one. But before we move on from this one, we're talking handwritten notes here or typed out?
What I'm saying is, in the past, I'm sure La Russa did it. I bet La Russa did it handwritten notes.
Yeah.
I bet he did.
Yeah, I bet he did.
I didn't ask him, but I was saying earlier, I think an email would be fine. But if he wanted to do it in a letter, I would say handwritten, not typed. Pretty cool.
It'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although, yeah, it would be pretty cool. Okay. Another suggestion of what Kyle Shanahan should be doing right now. How about before he moves forward with next season? And maybe he's done this already, but if he hasn't, go through every single play call he made on offense in the Super Bowl and grade it. Just grade it. Go even with like with the power of hindsight, knowing what happened, go back and honestly evaluate every single call you made, because there's no way you would give yourself an A on every single call. Which were the ones that you want back and why? That's a good exercise.
And which are the ones you're proud of and why?
Sure.
And how did the sequence work? You know, Iggy, I love it. And I think that should be almost, he should require that of himself. And it would be a way for him privately to grow.
Yeah.
And privately to be honest with himself. He doesn't have to share the information with anyone. But it's like, I'm a writer and I write a first draft. I know the first draft isn't going to be perfect. In a way, the game was his first draft, especially after he got off the scripted plays. Well, what I do as a writer, after my first draft, I come back to it and I look and I say, paragraph didn't work. It doesn't even belong. I don't know why I put it in. So you take out that paragraph, you put in a new paragraph. My verbs aren't active. They're not strong. My images aren't interesting. My conclusion doesn't follow. It's what any person who's thinking about his or her job would do. My second draft, my third draft. So what we're asking, Kyle, is to do a second draft. Now that you have time, you have leisure, you have composure, do a second draft. Can you learn from what you called in the Super Bowl? Because you only scored 19 points in the regulation. Can you learn? Yeah, and this is, it's not a put down. It's an exercise.
Yeah, like Christian McCaffrey fumbling in field goal range did hurt the Niners' point output, but 19 points in regulation, 22 points in five quarters. They were 3 for 12 on third down. They averaged 5.4 yards per play, which, just to put that in context, during their season, the Niners averaged 6.5 yards per play, which was number one in the league. In this game, 5.4, that would have put him right kind of in the middle, and the Chiefs were 5.8. So their offense just in every single way underperformed in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You can't just blame it all on execution. What would you have called differently? And what did you like, though? What you did?
And what'd you like? And Kyle, if I may speak to you again, this is not punitive. No one's trying to punish you. This is how a leader learns. And I have a bit of advice for you. Don't be afraid to do this. Even if you see a play where you thought you really screwed up, don't be afraid of it. Go to it. Learn from it. What would you have done? What could you do in a second draft? And I think these are two things that are not punitive, that are using California stuff. You can grow from, you know, you can grow from that. He could do. Now, do I know if he's capable of writing these letters or of learning from himself? Iggy, I don't know. I've never met the man. I don't know.
People don't grow in New York. People don't grow in Brooklyn. What's a California word?
Oh, it's a California concept, I guess. Maybe I'm being hard.
There's no growth in Brooklyn these days. Growing no growth. Is soft.
Well, I never grew that much. I'm only 5'7".
California on this feed. I'm sorry.
Rude. Yeah, okay. You got to defend California.
I got to defend it.
All right.
So he's going to go back. He's going to grade. And what's nice about it, like, to use therapy language. Like, this could be just for you. You don't have to show it to anyone. You could burn it after you do it. It's just personal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Kyle, that's our advice. Iggy and I have advice for you today, how you can fill up the spare time. And I think it's productive, both of the things that we suggested.
We have like more things, though. We've gone through two. We got like three more. I got three more.
Okay. All right.
I got three more. So what Kyle Shanahan should be doing now, part three. We talked about how we could look back and assess his offense. How about looking forward and figuring out how he can evolve on offense? He's bringing back all 11 starters. That's great. Continuity is wonderful, but you can't stay the same. especially schematically. And he prides himself on being sort of one step ahead of the rest of the league. So what's it going to be? Let's think it through. Defenses are going to be playing a little bit more man-to-man coverage against the Niners because that's what works. Brock Purdy's great against zone. He has the anticipation accuracy to dice it up. But against man, it's a little bit tougher. All of a sudden, Debo can't get open. You're going to see that. So how are you going to counter that? Well, I think we're going to see what he tried to do in the Super Bowl. Empty backfield. No running back. A lot of passing. Because what the Niners used to do on offense was play action a lot. And play action relies on sort of getting all those zone defenders who are looking at the quarterback to bite. But if they're all chasing receivers, play action doesn't work as well. So I think you're going to see more of the stuff we saw in the Super Bowl. Problem with that is they couldn't pick up a blitz to save their lives from those formations. So Kyle has to work that out. He's got to figure out what was the problem. And maybe let your quarterback call an audible. If whatever you called isn't going to pick up the blitz, maybe trust Brock Purdy to figure it out on the field himself. Those are a couple things he could work on.
Iggy, let me ask you a question. Is Brock Purdy not allowed to call an audible?
Mm-mm, he's not. What Kyle will do is he'll give him a couple of plays, two calls, and he can go. Brock Purdy can go to the line of scrimmage and pick between them. But if he sees that the defense is calling a blitz and whatever he has, neither the plays can pick it up, there's nothing he can do. Also, Iggy, the quarterback doesn't set the projections. The center does. So Jake Brendel has to be the one pointing and telling people who to block who, and the quarterback is just standing there. So maybe Kyle must put a little bit more power in Brock's hands.
Can you give me an example of an NFL quarterback present or past who could call audibles?
Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning called all of his own plays, Drew Brees, the best ones. The best ones. The ones you don't trust are the ones you give two plays to and say, don't mess it up. If we'll put a guy in motion. If it's zone, call this. If it's man, call this, like that kind of stuff. But Brock's supposed to be better than that.
Right. He's supposed to be cerebral.
Right.
And quick thinking. Yeah.
Right.
Iggy, I love this. Thank you. I'm learning from this. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, they have to have a solution for that.
My impression, and I could be wrong, that's how Harbaugh operated too, like with Alex Smith, just two plays.
Yeah,
that's and again, how he did too.
I think Alex Smith's career was a disaster before he got Jim Harbaugh. So I think he was trying to simplify things for Alex.
Got it.
You know,
but in this case, you'd like to expand things for Brock.
Yeah, I think there's more that he can do that they're not letting him do. Kyle's very controlling, and I understand Brock's just turned 24. But that thing that happened in the Super Bowl, I understand why he went to the empty backfields. If they're going to play man-to-man coverage and put eight in the box, those play action passes are long developing and slow, and they won't necessarily work. So spread them out and get one-on-one matchups and see who can really guard who one-on-one. Can you really guard McCaffrey one-on-one? Fine. But those blitzes killed it. Like those blitzes destroyed whatever the Niners were trying to accomplish. So you have to have some kind of solution for it and maybe allow Brock to be part of that.
So that's number three that he can do on his so-called vacation.
Okay, I got another one. Number four. And this is, I guess it's too late, but he needs to work on his game management. Game management, when to kick a field goal, when to go for it on fourth down, when to punt, that kind of stuff. He's not particularly aggressive all I know is that two head coaches who won Super Bowls this offseason, Sean McVay, John Harbaugh, each hired like a game management assistant coach. It's kind of a new thing in the NFL. A guy whose role on the team is just sort of to help the coach decide when to go for two, when to convert, when to use timeouts, stuff like that. McVay did it. John Harbaugh did it. These are champions. And they were like, that's a great idea. That could really help me. Kyle, you should do that. You're not good at managing games. This could help you. It's a great idea. Why not copy Sean McVay and John Harbaugh? It's not too late.
Yeah. John Harbaugh is a real veteran, great coach.
Forward thinking.
He has a coach's demeanor. He's forward thinking, all of that. Yes. Yeah.
So that's a fourth thing Kyle could do, is look into hiring a game management coach. And then real quick, a fifth thing, bonus, read the rule book. start front to back. Just read the whole thing. Why, it would take you a few days. There might be some interesting things in there that you don't know.
If, hey, Kyle, if you read the rule book and it's a real book, I'll buy you a yellow magic marker so you can
highlight. Keep you engaged. You can highlight the relevant parts and come back to it.
Yeah.
Overtime playoff rules. Yellow highlight. It'll help.
Yeah, I like it. Boy, you're hot today, Iggy. I was ready to quit after two.
No, rule book, baby. Okay, let's cleanse our palates with some sleeper picks. What do you say?
Sleeper.
Sleeper. It's sleeper time. And we're going to do Giants because we've been watching a little Giants recently. Baseball's back, and they're playing the Dodgers. Logan Webb, today. Let's pick.
He's pitching today?
He's pitching today. The over-under, the more or less for the strikeouts is 5.5. Last time he pitched, he got 5. 5.5.
Okay.
Also,
let me think.
6.5 earned runs, 6.5 hits, 1.5 walks. That's what we got. What kind of action do you like for Logan Webb?
So you went a little fast for me.
5.5 strikeouts.
Yeah.
2.5 earned runs, 6.5 hits allowed, 1.5 walks.
Okay. I'd like to go for the earned runs.
Okay. Earned runs.
And I'll 2.5.
2.5.
I'm going to say the Dodgers are loaded.
Yeah.
Let me say, I like Logan Webb. He's really a good pitcher. Down there, I think I'm going to go more.
I think that's a good call. More.
Yeah, I think. And look, I'm not disrespecting Logan Webb. I just think the Dodgers are really hot. They have some really good players, and they're playing in L.A.
Okay. How about Conforto hit a home run last night? The stuff for hitters, it's like, will he get a hit? Hits 0.5. Total bases 0.5. Runs 0.5. Walks. Anything about
Iggy,
Conforto. You feeling strong about Conforto? Good name.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Do we know who's pitching tonight for the Dodgers?
Do we know who's pitching tonight for the Dodgers? That's a good question. No.
Okay, we could be irresponsible and just do it. Give me the choices. I don't feel all Conforto about this, but okay.
All right, forget Conforto. What about Chapman? You think he'll get a hit tonight?
Absolutely.
Okay, more for Chapman. And then Wade. What do you think of Wade? Think he'll get a hit tonight? If he's playing.
He's playing.
Let's stick to two Giants. Let's flip over to the NBA real quick. And get one Warriors. Because you got to have two teams on sleepers. You can't just do one team. So
who are the Warriors playing?
They're playing Dallas, and they're at home. 7 o'clock tonight. Curry. 26. You got Luka. Wiggins. Draymond.
Let me hear Wiggins. Let me hear, let me hear Wiggins. Wiggins.
12.5 points.
Under.
You know, he under. Had 4 in the last game. 4.
Yeah, under.
Oh, for sure. Okay.
Under.
Those are our picks. Logan Webb, Matt Chapman, Andrew Wiggins, a Bay Area sleeper pick. $10 to make 47. Let's see what we can do. My pick has expired on Wiggins. What was that, yesterday? I'm confused. I'll figure it out. Don't worry, everyone. Thanks for watching. And the show's not over, but if you want to play, use the promo code CONE and get that deposit match up to $500.
I want to say something before we get off of this.
Sure.
About baseball.
Uh-huh.
You know, I grew up with baseball as my major sport because, you know, I'm a... What am I... if I was born in 1945, what do you call us? I'm a boomer.
A boomer.
And I grew up with baseball. Now I can watch on TV and Kruko and Kuiper are back. Iggy, I can't tell you how much I love listening to those guys.
Yeah,
now, you have to understand, I covered them both as players.
Yeah.
We've known each other since almost before puberty, the three of us.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of fun covering them. Now, with Kuiper, I would have to say there was a lot of verbal sparring because I'm like that, but so is Kuiper. It was always good-natured, and he and Kruko, even as players, they were so wonderful. But the way they approach a game, I'm in love with it. And I'm going to say really real quick why, and then we'll get back to football. The important thing in baseball is, what is the pitcher going to do? Nothing happens until the pitcher throws the ball. Kruko is really the only analyst that I've sort of been exposed to on a continuing basis from when I was about 8 years old, who sees the game from the pitcher's point of view. These, what is he going to throw here? It's a 2-1 count. There's a runner at second. This is a strong pitch. This is not as strong. Will he go high? Will he go low? Will he throw a curve? Will he throw a splitter? And so you're thinking through the game as if in football you're thinking it through with the quarterback. And what he does with that is, I learn every game from him. I do. And the play-by-play from Kuiper, the soothing voice. Remember, one guy threw a pitch last night. His first pitch was a hanging curve, and the batter missed it. And he said, "Well, it's good to get the hanger over on the first pitch." It was just so, it was so funny. So anyway, we'll get back to football.
And what you're saying, like, and why this is relevant to a football discussion is because baseball announcing is usually really good, or at least with the Giants, because they're taking you through the pitcher's mind pitch by pitch, and the pitcher dictates the pace and the strategy of the game. And so you're right where you need to be. But with football, when you watch football, it's like, okay, so-and-so made a tackle and he went to Notre Dame and he played there for 3 years and he was with the Raiders and now he's here. It's like, so-and-so just caught a 15-yard catch and he went to Arizona State and he was drafted in the first round. It's like, Yeah, I know who he is. I know who he, like, why don't you tell me why that play worked or why that play didn't work, or what the offensive play caller was trying to accomplish, or what the defensive play caller was trying to accomplish. Something. Not just, he went to Notre Dame and BYU.
Yeah, and he had some adversity in his life, but he overcame it. What I do in football is I just turn off the sound.
It's better.
But with Kruko and Kuiper, I never turn off the sound.
No, absolutely not. Okay, moving on. I want to circle back to Jed York. One of my writers for SI.com/NFL/49ers. Tom Jensen put out an article about a half an hour ago. It's excellent. And I was reading it and I just wanted to steal from it. So Tom, thank you. He put out a section about Jed York and the lemonade stand. And we talked about it last week after the owners meetings, but I have an interesting question. Does Jed York understand why Eddie DeBartolo was great? Because when pressed about, you know, Jed was talking about how he's sort of a mellower and more understanding and he wants to win, but he understands that finishing second is also good. Someone pointed out, like, hey, you know, Eddie didn't feel that way. And he quickly was like, well, Eddie didn't have a salary cap. So when he talked about why Eddie was great, he mentioned that he would spare no expense and he could write a lot of checks and that he had Joe Montana. That's sort of what I got from Jed York's summarization of Eddie DeBartolo's tenure. Could spend more than anyone else, and he had Joe Montana and Steve Young. Do you think Jed gets it?
I'm going to answer it a different way. I don't think Jed gives a crap about Eddie.
Right.
I don't think he spends a minute of his time thinking of Eddie unless he's in trouble.
Right.
Then all of a sudden you hear my Uncle Eddie. I talk to my Uncle Eddie and this. Yeah. First of all, I don't even know how much exposure he's had to Eddie, because now Eddie gets along with the sister, but it's known that Eddie and John York can't stand each other. They just can't. Yeah. I mean, it's known they can't stand each other. So I don't know how much interaction Jed and Eddie have had. I also know Eddie loves Jed. I know it. Because he's told me, Eddie is very family oriented, except for John York, who's not in his family, but his nephew he loves, and he would like to be a good uncle. I don't know how often Jed actually reaches out to Eddie. I think Jed probably not only doesn't get Eddie, resents that people still compare him to Eddie.
Right.
I mean, Eddie, yes, you could say he didn't have a salary cap, although he did the last time they won a Super Bowl, and he this and that, and Eddie, you know, was very volatile as a young man, which this other one is almost has rigor mortis. He's not volatile at all. You could say all of that. Eddie was a winner.
Right.
Eddie demanded winning. Right. And, you know, you talk about a team being a family. It's how he looked at it. Yeah. Eddie, it's how he looked at it. I mean, he's still probably best friends with Joe Montana.
Yeah.
It's how he looked at it. And so I don't think Jed values it or even understands what Eddie did. And I think it burns him up that Eddie gets 1-5 Super Bowls and gets all this praise. That's how I look at it.
I think it's funny. He just went quickly to the quarterback and the salary cap as if the coach that Jed York has hired is on the same playing field as the coach that Eddie DeBartolo hired, or the two coaches that Eddie DeBartolo hired. Like, what are you talking about? And or that the front office that Jed York has assembled is on par with the front office that Eddie DeBartolo and John McVay and Bill Walsh assembled. I don't think so. I think there were a lot of things that were different. And also, the big one is the mentality and the temperament that Jed was trying to talk about. Eddie was fiery, and he was upset when he wouldn't finish first. Finishing second for Eddie was not a successful season. It would make him angry. But what Jed was saying is that he's more evolved. He understands that, you know, flipping out or going in a rage or punching a wall for not winning a Super Bowl doesn't help you win the Super Bowl. But I kind of disagree. I think the mentality, if you accept finishing second, you're never going to finish first. And having the mentality of finishing second is not a successful season is the kind of thing that propels you to being a champion. And Jed doesn't understand that because he's not a champion.
I would agree with everything you said. May I add one thing?
Yeah.
As a gentleman, what Jed should have done. Someone asks you to compare yourself to your uncle.
Right.
To your mother's brother.
Right.
Okay?
Yep.
Who's a very famous man. And now a very good man. Now.
Yeah.
I would say I love my uncle.
Yeah.
I'm proud to be his nephew.
Yeah.
I'm proud of everything.
Legacy to live up to. What a legacy to try to live up to.
What a legacy. I'm trying.
Yeah.
I'm trying to live up to my, I haven't lived up to my uncle's legacy. It's phenomenal. I would love to live up to it. I'm trying and I'm doing my best and hopefully someday I can, but all credit to my uncle. I love him. That's how you answer that question. You don't crap on your uncle.
No.
Do you know what that makes you seem like?
Yeah. A twit.
Okay. Yeah.
A twit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had an Uncle Irving. He was a lawyer like my dad. My Uncle Irving. I love Uncle Irving.
Shout out.
I never said Uncle Irving isn't as good a lawyer as my father. It was, I love Uncle Irving.
Yeah. Oh, Uncle Irving, it was easier 40 years ago. He didn't have to deal with the things I got to deal with now. Who the hell was he?
Uncle Irving. Yeah.
He married my aunt. Uncle Irving.
Anyway, do you see what I'm saying about how Jed could have answered that?
Yeah. Like a grown up with.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to say.
I love my uncle.
He got so defensive when pressed. Well, Eddie, I'd love to have the two best quarterbacks in the league. Blah, blah, blah.
Eddie was smart enough to get, you know, Eddie was smart enough. My uncle was smart enough to get the two best quarterbacks in the league. We're trying. We think we do. I would never compare myself to Eddie. He's incomparable. I'm trying to live up to his legacy, and I'm doing everything I can. And I know my uncle knows that.
Yeah.
And knows how much I love and admire him.
Yeah.
That's how a mensch, Iggy, that's how a mensch answers.
Yeah.
My uncle, right?
If that were Jed, though, he never would have let Parag go on, you know, on the record and call his uncle's operation a lemonade stand. He never would let that happen. But that must be how Jed feels, too.
Oh, you think?
Yeah.
You think there's a chance?
Mm-hmm. Lemonade stand. Anyway. One more thing, and this is a bonus topic I haven't prepped my dad for. I figured if I told my dad that this was a topic, he would just nix it before the show. So I'm just springing it on you, and you have to react. We're going to talk about it for 8 minutes. You ready?
No.
Should the 49ers have kept Trey Lance? Here's why I ask. When they traded him last year, it made sense. They'd signed Sam Darnold. That was the backup quarterback they wanted. He's gone. Now he's going to compete to be the starter with the Vikings, and the backups for Brock Purdy are Josh Dobbs, who I think had 24 turnovers last year, and Brandon Allen, who is good in the room, but not necessarily on the field. And They could have had Lance. Lance is still like 23 years old, 24 years old. The reason that they got rid of him is now on the Vikings. I don't know. What do you think?
I want to say that's a heck of an interesting question.
Thanks.
I think off the cuff, because you did spring, you sprung this on me, I would have kept him. And I'm going to say why.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a better player than Joshua Dobbs. I do. What's more, he's sufficiently different from Brock Purdy that it could have given other teams problems. So I agree with you. I think he would be a better backup right now than Joshua Dobbs would be. Joshua Dobbs is like, he's the relief pitcher you bring in when in the eighth inning when you're down 10 to nothing. He's kind of that, you know, the low man on the staff. Okay, which brings me to another point. Why did they get rid of Trey Lance?
Right. Okay,
so let's talk about the underlying question.
Let's talk about that for a second. What they wanted people to believe is they just liked Sam Darnold better. Maybe, but I think what they liked is that no one cares about Sam Darnold and no one would talk about Sam Darnold, and they felt that Trey Lance was a distraction, but it was a distraction that they created that they could have managed. And now it's like, well, okay, you got a boring backup quarterback unit, but it's not necessarily that good.
Yeah. So here's what I'm saying. I'm saying the reason, okay, my interpretation, I believe the reason the Niners got rid of Trey Lance had nothing to do with football.
That's correct.
It had to do with image.
Yes.
That they people, i.e. the media and fans, were talking too much about the backup quarterback and not really about the starter or the rest of the team. And they wanted to cool down the vibe.
Yes.
So they got rid of him for the reason of temperature.
Right.
And public image, yep. Not because the kid had failed, because he'd never had a chance to fail or succeed. So I think they got rid of him for the wrong reason.
Right.
And if they had kept him, I think the quarterback position would be stronger now. No knock on Joshua Dobbs, who I like.
Right.
But I don't think is as good, nor clearly does he have the potential of Trey Lance. So I'll even phrase it a different way, Iggy. And I'm really glad you brought this up. I'd phrase it a different way. I'd say the reason the Niners got rid of Trey Lance was they were weak.
Yeah. I would have to agree with that. Absolutely. And short-sighted. It's like, okay, well, we don't really want this distraction that we created, so we'll trade him for a fourth-round pick, which isn't much, and then we'll sign Sam Darnold to a one-year deal, and that'll be that. Okay, but what about next year? He's gone. And now your backup quarterback is Josh Dobbs? Do you really like Josh Dobbs better than Trey Lance? I doubt it. So what did you really get? You got a fourth-round pick and Josh Dobbs. Probably should have just managed the narrative a little bit better. You could have handled that. I mean, that's what PR people for.
And that's what John Lynch is for.
Yeah. Work it out. But it would be because they're one play away from Josh Dobbs starting for them. You'd much rather that be Trey Lance.
Iggy, I said why I thought they traded Trey Lance. Why do you think they traded him?
I agree. I mean, I covered training camp last year. He was not worse than Sam Darnold. It was quite close. There were days where Darnold was better. There were days where Lance was better. When you totaled up their stats, it was quite close. But then once they traded Lance, Kyle Shanahan said it was clear from all the way back from the joint practices that Darnold had separated himself. It wasn't clear to anyone who covered those practices. It was not clear. So it must have been something other than football. I totally agree with you.
Yes, and it was image and the temperature of the room.
If you remember, his final preseason game, he led a comeback. He had like drive after drive where he got better and better and better, and then they traded him. And after he had that game, he came up to me in the locker room and said, "Grant, thank you," or something. But it was pretty much, I'm never going to see you again. And yeah. I appreciate what you've tried to do.
But no, let's linger over that for a minute. He said, he did say something like, Grant, something. Thank you, or thanks for your support, or something.
Yeah, something like
but
that.
But he didn't stop and say it.
No. Nope.
He did it in a whisper.
Under his breath.
And he walked under his breath because he knew how volatile the whole situation was. And he knew how volatile they look at you. Yeah. And he didn't want to be seen talking to you. So he sort of did it out of the side of his mouth.
Yeah.
That just shows
talking to the enemy.
That just shows how vulnerable he felt. And they got rid of him shortly after that.
Yeah. And so what's interesting about Trey Lance, people don't think about him very much anymore, but he's with the Cowboys. And there's been rumors the last few days that the Cowboys could trade Dak Prescott to the Raiders, who have no idea what they're doing ever. So that would kind of make sense. And that could happen in the next few weeks before the draft, which would mean that Trey Lance would be one step closer to being a starting quarterback. And it would be really interesting. It's going to be interesting to see what happens to him. We still don't know. And a lot of people have written him off. He's entering his fourth year in the league. Jordan Love just broke out. Jordan Love was on the bench for 3 years, started in his fourth year, played well. I'm not saying that Trey Lance is the next Jordan Love, but we'll freaking find out. It's going to be interesting.
Boy, this is a good topic. I'm glad you did it.
Yeah, they're not past him yet. That's still a big skeleton in their closet. And if Brock Purdy gets hurt and they have to actually start one of those two backups and they can't win with him, this is going to come right back in their faces. Pause.
Iggy, when Trey Lance ran that final drive, didn't some of the players run down the field to congratulate him?
Yes, they did. Brandon Ayuk. Debo Samuel.
Debo?
Yeah. Yes. Wasn't there like a 15-yard penalty because players ran off the sideline? Yes.
Yeah. Because they were that excited for him. Mm-hmm. So let me just say another reason they might have gotten rid of him, there might have been a schism in the locker room.
Right. Good point.
Might have been a schism in the locker room.
Yeah.
There might have been two factions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
Absolutely.
Because those two players, as I recall, ran down and celebrated. He had done so well, and somebody might have thought, we got to get it. This is no good for the team.
Yeah.
But no, you know what?
Celebrate Sam Darnold leading a drive. Sorry.
Yeah. But you know what? They could have managed that. And I do agree with you. I think that they are not as strong with Joshua Dobbs. And I don't want to be seen as putting down Joshua Dobbs because he can do certain things. But I don't think he's as gifted or has the future that Trey Lance has.
Yeah, this isn't about Dobbs. This is about the Niners, and it's about sort of arrogance. Like, they thought they could make a non-football decision for a football. I mean, it's like, we're so good. Brock Purdy's so good. Who cares who our backup quarterback is? Let's get rid of Trey Lance. And okay, well, let's see you keep Brock Purdy healthy for multiple seasons, and let's see Josh Dobbs. But, you know, it was a very risky thing, and they were pretty cavalier about it. Like, we don't need him anymore.
Iggy, do you actually think there's a chance that Dak Prescott goes to Las Vegas?
I do think there's a chance. I think the Cowboys have figured out that they're not going anywhere with Dak Prescott. And the Raiders aren't going anywhere with anyone. And no, so I think they would probably like to have a quarterback people have heard of. And I think the Cowboys might like to move on.
Who would start for the Cowboys?
Maybe Trey Lance. They also have a guy, Cooper Rush, and there's a draft.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. So that'd be interesting. Let's take some super chats. Yaz Williams says, Papa Cone, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, Yaz.
Slide 23 says, I got a good idea. Read the rule book. That's back when he proceeded. I stole your idea, Slide 23. I agree. Just read the thing. Read it. You could put it on audiobook. You could listen to the rule book. West Bay Niner Talk says, Grant, did you ever give your dad the $100 for a bottle of wine? Did I lose a bet?
No, we're square on bets. We're okay. And we haven't made any new ones.
No. Fish and Chips, show of the week, then the Grant Cone Show.
Hi, Fish and Chips. Always nice to hear from you.
Jed gets defensive because he knows the truth. 0-3.
Yeah.
It's true. Slide 23, would Eddie ever make a clerical error? Well, he got in trouble too.
He got in trouble too. But I don't think that was too. I don't think that was a clerical error.
No, sorry, Eddie. West Bay Niner Talk says, Lowell, if you were to ask Eddie D what is exactly wrong with the Niners and why can't they get over the hump, what do you think he'd say privately?
I know what he'd say. I wouldn't put down my nephew. I love my nephew. If I'm here, if he ever wants to talk about me, talk to me. He never, to me, has said anything negative about Jed. If you get him off the record on John York, he's not a big John York fan. But Jed, he's my Uncle Irving. Uncle Irving felt about me, he feels about Jed.
Right. And so where it's easy to get Jed to say some less than complimentary things about Eddie, it would be impossible to get Eddie to say some less than complimentary things about Jed.
Never would
and
do
not necessarily because he loves Jed, but because he honors the familial relationship.
But he loves Jed.
Yeah.
He loves him.
He loves himself, and honoring your sister and your nephew is part of that.
Absolutely.
Right.
They come from a big Italian family, like right. your mom, right. like my wife. That's right. how they are. God love them.
Yep. There he goes. I can say that. I'm a quarter Italian. Scott Carr says, Huff at linebacker, Warner as a former safety too. Aloha. Sure. I don't think Hufanga would like getting his position switched in a contract year, but you know what? It's the NFL. That's the way it goes. I'm out of topics. How you feeling?
I enjoyed today.
I think it was a great show.
You know what I'm noticing, Iggy? We're not getting as many comments as we usually do. And I think part of it is it's the off season, right?
Yeah, I would agree.
And things are going to heat up.
100% what it is.
100%.
Yeah.
Because I'm sensitive. I like to feel that I'm contributing and make a difference.
We have more than 1,000 people watching right now. It's been a very successful show. I think you were great.
I thought you were great.
Well, thank you.
The bonus topic. I like the bonus topic.
That really tied the whole show together.
Now, I want you people to know, I'm going to watch the Giants and the Dodgers tonight. I like the rivalry. Now, you have to understand, I grew up a Brooklyn Dodger fan. Vin Scully was a young man when I was a kid, and he was announcing. So I have funny feelings about the Dodgers because they left. They had every reason to leave, but they left. I'm not a fan, but the rivalry I bring to me from New York because the Giants were up at the Polo Grounds. So it has a lot of meaning for me. I hope the Giants can keep it close this time. They got sort of beaten up really bad in their last two games, once against San Diego and then against the Dodgers. So I hope they can keep it close tonight.
I just got one thing to say to you, Dad.
Yeah?
Conforto.
Conforto. I love you.
Dad, I love you, Dad. I'll talk to you soon. See you, everyone. Okay.